I want to do a little recap of last week, where we looked at James chapter 2, verse 18. Oh, good job. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Even the demons believe and tremble. And this is something that I didn't talk about last week, but something that the Lord had put on my heart. Something that the Lord had put on my heart for this verse is, and I thought of it because of a video that my wife showed me. And then I thought about it because of, who saw God's Not Dead? God's Not Dead. Yeah, the movie, right? Like, right, the climax of that movie is, you know, like, they're debating, they're going back and forth, and then finally the atheist is like, "It's because I hate God," right? You guys remember the part? It's like, "Because I hate God." I haven't seen it in, like, a long time, so if I'm not saying the perfect words, then, but you guys get the idea, right? He's like, "I hate God." He's like, "How can," and then the person who believes in God says, "How could you hate someone that doesn't exist?" Right? How could you hate someone that doesn't exist? And Here's the truth. Satan and the demons, they hate God. Everyone say hate. Like, they hate God. And they hate everything he did, and they hate everything he does. This is why Satan hates you, because you were made in the image of God. This is why demons hate you, because God desires to have a relationship with you. The reason that demons hate you is because it's because Satan wants your worship. And you're the one, and so when we give our worship to God, Satan hates that. And listen to me, Satan will do everything he can to get in between you and your worship. Satan will do everything he can to get in between you and reading the Word of God. And this is just basic experience, right? Where you're like, "Man, you know what? I'm gonna read my Bible today, and then, like, your alarm doesn't go off. It's like, "Oh, Satan." Or it's like, "You know what? I'm gonna go to church today." And then, like, something happens, you're like, "Oh." But as I was thinking about this, the point of these scriptures James is telling us is belief by itself is not enough. Faith has to back up your belief. If you guys remember our definition, faith is belief expressed, right? If you believe something, then your actions will express it, right? So the demons, Satan, they hate God, and their actions express that hatred towards God. And there's a lot of Christians who, they don't hate God, but they like God. And what I want to tell you guys is, hating God and liking God, both of them don't meet God's standards. It's the same thing. Satan doesn't care if you hate God. Satan doesn't care if you like him. What Satan is after is your love for him. See, according to Jesus, the standard is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the standard. Liking God, liking church, liking the sayings of Jesus, liking the blessings, that is not the standard. The standard is unrestrained, 100% all in love. That is the standard. And I'm just afraid. Afraid, like, I'm scared, but my fear is that there's so many Christians out there. I'm not talking about you guys, but my fear is that there's a lot of Christians out there who like Jesus, but they don't love him, and they think that liking Jesus is the same as loving Jesus. See, loving Jesus is complete obedience. Liking Jesus is just coming to church because you need your fix to make yourself feel better, right? Liking Jesus is just liking some pictures on Instagram and thinking that you're good because you read some scriptures, right? When we accept Jesus into our life, the only appropriate response to having a relationship with Jesus is faith, is obedience. So I just wanted to recap a little bit about what we talked about last week. But what I want to tell you guys today is my desire and our desire is for every single one of you guys to have a real encounter with Jesus. But not just to have it one time, but to have it again and again.
Yeah.
I want to give you guys a couple of examples today, okay? Is that all right? Let's go to John chapter 11. Brother, good to see you. My brother's in town from East Coast. It's in John chapter 11, right? Check this out. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So we begin this story with Lazarus, who's actually one of Jesus' close friends, is sick, and Lazarus actually ends up dying because Jesus decides to stay longer. Martha gets such a bad rap because of when Jesus said, Martha, Martha, right? You're anxious or you're worried about many things, but only one thing is needed, right? But in this story, Martha is the first one to come to Jesus. Martha is the one who comes. So picture this, right? Martha, her brother Lazarus, is dying, and dead. They bury him. Jesus shows up like 2 days later after his death. And Martha goes up to meet him. Verse 20. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming. Oh, this is good, church. As soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Verse 24, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So this is kind of funny because Jesus is like, hey, like your brother's going to come to life. And she's like, oh, I know. Like, you know, one day when we're all in heaven, he's going to be alive. I get that, Lord. But notice what Martha says. And here's my point. Martha had the faith that Jesus could heal Lazarus. Like, that's why she sent for Jesus. She's like, I know Jesus can heal my brother, so I'm going to send for Jesus. But once Lazarus was dead, her faith didn't say Jesus can raise him from the dead. See, she had some faith. And yet Jesus, honestly, like, when I read the story, I see Martha as, like, the center of the story because it's her faith that is being challenged and it's her faith that's being pushed. Lazarus is dead. Like, yes, he gets risen from the dead, but he's just the climax to, like, a really great story. But it's Martha's faith that's really being challenged because she's like, Jesus, if you were here, he would have lived. So Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, Jesus knows what she believes. He's like, I know you believe I can heal him, but I am the resurrection. I am the life. Do you believe that I can do a miracle in this? Like, it's not like a faith of like, Lord, I know one day we're all going to be in heaven and I'll see my brother again. He's like, no, no, no. I want to do something right now. See, he's challenging her faith, and this is what Jesus does. Jesus meets us where we're at. Listen to me, church. Jesus meets us where we are at, but he. This is gonna sound weird, but he doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay there. He doesn't stay where you're at. Why? Because you don't belong where you're at. You belong with him, following him. Amen. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that in a bit because I have another story that's also cool. fast forward, they get married, and then they go to the tomb. Verse 38, then Jesus again groaning in himself came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? You would see the glory of God. See, this isn't Jesus isn't talking about the future or eternity. No, he's talking about this day. He's like, I want to show you the glory of God today. Amen? Amen? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. You know who's standing by? Martha. Martha's one of the people standing by listening and saying, wow, Jesus praying to the Father and something's going to happen. Now when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. See, Jesus is trying to take Martha's faith from, I know Jesus can heal, to Jesus can raise people from the dead. That is pretty amazing. See, Martha knew Jesus was a healer. He already met her there. But he wanted to build her faith. Let me give you guys another example, okay? And then we'll worship. John chapter 6. And this is something that I believe that every single one of us have struggled with at some point or another. Are you guys there? John chapter 6. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, our worthy God. I just pray that you continue to fill this place with your presence, God. Fill this place with your love. Fill this place with your goodness, God. I thank you the Holy Spirit right now is just breaking down walls, God. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him. Did you know that the Lord tests you? But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. In this portion of scripture, they hear about Jesus, so this multitude comes to Jesus. They seek Jesus, and what happens? You guys know the story, they find this young boy and he has like fish and he has some bread, and then the Lord blesses it and multiplies it. All 5,000 people are fed. Amen. At the end of this miracle, this is what is said about this miracle. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is come into the world. Everyone say encounter. With the feeding of the 5,000, this multitude had an encounter with Jesus. This is a good thing. This is a great thing. And then they go back over the sea. Jesus walks on water in between this. Pretty cool. But they go to the other side of the sea, and then we pick up the same story in verse 22. On the following day, so we'll just call it day one. On day one, miracle encounter. Someone say amen. On the next day, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side where the miracle happened, on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except the one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered into the boat with his disciples. So much detail. But disciples had gone away alone. Verse 23, however, the other boat came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. Okay, this is what I'm trying to say. This multitude, they have an encounter and they go back to the place of that encounter, but Jesus isn't there. listen to me. They have an amazing, crazy encounter with Jesus where they're like, wow, I've never eaten so much bread and fish in my life. And they go back to the place of encounter. They go back to the place where they met Jesus, and Jesus isn't there. Where is Jesus? Ask your neighbor, where is Jesus? Verse 24, when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Everyone say seeking Jesus. Verse 25, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Man, they really want to see Jesus. Verse 26, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. This is interesting. This is interesting right here, because right here, Jesus redirects the reason why they're seeking him. He doesn't rebuke them. He's not mad at them. He's not like, man, you guys are just selfish. You guys just want food. That's not what happens. That's not what happens. Like, man, I know those tacos were good, but God help us when the only value we find in Jesus is what he does for us. If the only value we find in Jesus is the blessing that he is to us. If the only value we find in Jesus is because he, does that make sense? Like, no, he's a person worthy of our love and our affection. Amen. But he doesn't, listen to me, he doesn't correct them. He redirects them. He's like, listen, you guys are seeking me because there was some good food here. You're seeking me because there were some cool miracles that happened here. And then he says this. He says, do not labor for the food which perishes. In other words, don't cross the sea because you want more fish and bread. But for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. In other words, listen, there's much more than bread and fish I want to give you. I want to give you healing. I want to give you joy. I want to give you peace. There's some real things that you guys, feeding your bellies is good, but that's not all there is to Jesus. And this is what I want to tell you, church. And as I was thinking about this last night, here's what I felt the Holy Spirit say. There's some of us here who are wondering, why can't I encounter God again in Sozo? Why can't I encounter God at camp anymore? Why can't I encounter God on a Sunday? Or you're wondering, like, why is it? Because Jesus isn't there anymore. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is not at camp. That's not what I'm saying, okay? But hear me. Hear me, church. Jesus is calling us to a higher, a deeper, a stronger level of seeking him. Amen? Like I said earlier, Jesus will meet us where we are at, but he's not going to stay there. Why? Because you're not called to stay there. Amen. He said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. This is one part that's amazing. This part's amazing right here, this next part, because their response is, when I read their response the first time, I was like, this is a weird response. They're seeking Jesus for food, and Jesus is like, hey, you guys need some spiritual food. And then verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? What do we need to do, Jesus, that we would work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Amen. I don't know where you guys are at, but I want you guys to take a few moments and say, you know, I know I've had an encounter with Jesus, and I'm struggling to have an encounter with him again. And I want you to ask yourself, am I going after Jesus for the same thing? Or is he calling me deeper? Listen to me, church. God the Father desires to know you on a deeper level. God the Father desires to know you beyond a Wednesday night, beyond a Sunday morning. You will never understand. Oh, none of us will ever understand God's love for us. Fully understand it. But we can come to a deeper knowledge of him. And here's what happens, church. This is the amazing part. Jesus brings them to a deeper knowledge of who he is. He's like, hey, listen, you're going to seek me for the food? Fine. But I want you guys to seek me for more than that. I want to bring you guys deeper. And their response is, okay, we want to do the works of God. This is what happens, church, when we seek Jesus, when we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Number one, he shows up. Number two, he reveals himself to us. But number three, that love for him, that relationship with him, will actually cause us to do the works of God. I want a church that goes to Jesus not only because they're sick, and then once Jesus heals them, they walk away like the lepers. I want to see a church that really values his presence. I want to see a church that really values his word. I want to see a church that really values his sacrifice. I want to see a church that doesn't like Jesus. They love Jesus. I want to see a church that doesn't just come to church because it's a cool social group, but they actually say, you know what? The Lord is there and I'm going to go there. Amen. I want to see a church that's passionate for his glory, passionate for his presence, passionate for his word. Amen. And if you've never had an encounter with Jesus, I hope tonight you have one. I hope that tonight when you worship, you have an encounter with him. Because listen to me, Jesus wants to meet you where you're at. If you've never felt his love, if you've never felt his presence, tonight's the night. Tonight you will feel his presence. But if you've already known his love, you've already felt his presence, you're like, why don't I feel it anymore? Maybe the Lord's testing you, saying, how passionate will your worship be? Am I worthy of some passionate worship? Am I worthy? I love this example. What if originally, if you've had like a crazy encounter with God, you're like, oh my gosh, like not even like a healing or like a prophetic word, but it's like you were just like in worship or you're just at home and like the Lord showed up and you're like, oh, this is so great, and you just started crying, right? What if you had to pray for 3 hours every single time for that to happen? Would you do it? I do. It'd be worth it. Because when the Lord comes, it's like it, you don't care about what the cost. Because when Jesus comes into the room, it's worth it. It's always worth it. Amen? And so it was worth it to be with Jesus when he multiplied the food. But maybe Jesus was like, is it worth it to cross the sea to find me again? Is it worth it to go into the secret place for not 15 minutes, but maybe 52 minutes? Maybe he shows up because you lifted up your hands, but maybe he's waiting for you to get on your knees next time. He will always draw you to a deeper relationship with him. And here's what happens, church. When he draws you deeper, you lose more of yourself. Listen, please don't clap. But I turn 30 years old tomorrow. And my one prayer, why is that funny? Don't clap. But I turn 30 years old tomorrow, and I've been contemplating, you know, because it's I don't know, it's just different, it's weird. But my prayer all day today is, Lord, I swear, I put on the Lord, my prayer today has been, Lord, I want the old me to stay in my 20s. I want the old me to stay in my 20s. I don't want any part of me
to go into my 30s. I want a new life in you. I don't want to care about my reputation, my dignity, my popularity, people like me or not. I want to go into my 30s fully devoted to Him and nothing else. My prayer is that I die today and tomorrow I have a new life in Him. I'm not saying I haven't had that, but listen to me, there's still parts of me that care about me. And I don't want to care about me. I want to care about Him. Because bow our heads and close our eyes. If you've never had an encounter, or you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, like you're like, man, Pastor Joel, I've been here and I've heard you talking about Jesus and I've felt something here and there, but I want to know Jesus for me. If that's your prayer, listen, I don't care how long you've been coming here, but if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If your heart right now is, Lord Jesus, I want to know you for myself. I don't want to just know you through church. I want to know you for me. Good. I see those hands. Lord, you see all the hands that are raised. You see all the hands that are raised, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that for these next few moments, as we come to you in our worship, as we humbly come to you, Father, because you are worthy, I pray that you meet every single person here where they're at. And for those of us who already know you, I pray, Lord, that we dig deeper, that we worship harder, that we have even more reverence for who you are, God, that we have more passion for your presence, God. Bottom line, Lord, we just want you to show up and reveal yourself, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray.